Amen. It's good to be with you all this evening. And old Brother Larry there, I apologize for cutting his clothes getting here. I thought we left on time, and we just got here on time, or thereabout. But appreciate the opportunity to preach tonight. And you pray, and trust you have been praying, as Brother mentioned earlier, that we just might worship our Lord together. My prayer as I preach and teach at Austin Baptist Church and then have opportunity otherwise to preach, that our Lord would teach us.
Amen.
We need our Lord to teach us.
Amen.
I'm to have a responsibility, of course, as one of the Lord's preachers and pastors, but all in all, we need our Lord to speak to us and to teach us. Invite you to turn your Bibles to go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. An elementary message tonight. This is what the Lord's, don't make any apology for it, but it is an elementary message. But we need the basics.
Amen.
We need the basic talking. Because it's so easy and for us to, in our way, in our natural man, gets in the way, take things and complicate them, confuse them, make them what they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to hear and believe our Lord in each and every thing that He's given us. Here in Luke chapter 5, verse number 1, the scripture says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Verse 6, And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they both began to sink. When Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.
Amen.
For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men.
Amen.
And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him.
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this blessing of being able to assemble with your people, this church. The church is here represented tonight to worship you. Father, our desire is indeed to worship you, and we thank you for the blessing and the privilege that you've given us in that already. Help now, Father, as we look into your word, that we might worship you in your word. Father, remove the cares of life. It's been a busy week. We have a busy weekend coming up, and things that have transpired that we think about and deal with, things that we have planned that are coming on, even the service this Sunday. We pray, Father, that you'd help us to lay all those things aside right now, that we just might focus upon you and your word. Father, take me out of the way. Father, we pray that you would teach us and you would speak to us. Father, we might hear you. We pray that you would bless and help in every need. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here, we want to focus on these words in verse number 5. There at the end of the verse, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Nevertheless, at thy word. Nevertheless, at thy word. This word, nevertheless, we take a look in Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. I like to use that. It gives us a closer connection to our Bible here, the King James translation. This word, nevertheless, definition that Brother Webster has here is that nevertheless is an adverb. Now, I didn't do well in English, so I barely know what an adverb does. But the definition goes on to say, not the less. Or the word that we see in the scriptures, notwithstanding. They're synonyms. They're that you can use them interchangeably. Notwithstanding, that is, in opposition to anything. So understand there's an opposition in the use of this word. There's something that's standing against something else. And that in opposition to anything or without regarding it. So there's an opposition and there's something that's going to be pursued or something that's been declared to pursue. And this word nevertheless is used. The example that's given in his definition, it rained, nevertheless, we proceeded on our journey. Listen, we did not the less proceed on our journey. I mean, they didn't hold back. It rained, went ahead and went. Now, like this, this helped me to understand about this word. We proceeded in opposition to the rain. So the rain opposed.
Right.
But we went ahead and went on our journey. Is his example. Without regarding it, behaved as if it wasn't even raining. Went on the trip without regarding it, being hindered by it, without being prevented. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. Simon Peter, our brother in the faith, we need to think about these fellows this way. He's our brother. And he's recently met the Lord down in Judea. He was saved either before or under the preaching of John the Baptist, was baptized by John the Baptist as he was over there at Jordan baptizing east of Jerusalem. And was there that day when John the Baptist said, or he was near, he was in that area. He wasn't there when he heard it. His brother Andrew was. When John said about Jesus as he walked along, behold the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Andrew and the other brother that was there, they went on and left John the Baptist and went over there to Jesus and inquired about where he was and where he stayed and if they could spend some time with him. And they did. And they saw that in that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, things that they'd never seen in a man before. Andrew goes and finds Peter, doesn't he? So we know Peter is not up in Galilee, but down there in Judea and in that same area. And he says, come. Come see a man. Come see this man that he's got to be the Messiah.
Amen.
And Peter goes along with his brother. And the Lord Jesus says to him with all authority, he says, your name's Cephas. I think if I get this right. Or no, your name's Simon. From now on, you're going to be called Cephas. Now, how would you like it if somebody changed your name? But see, this man was different, wasn't he?
Right.
And so Peter had that encounter with the Lord and no doubt fellowshiped with the Lord for some time. We don't know how long. But then loaded up and went back home, up to Galilee. Went back to work, as we see this account going on here. So he knew who Jesus was. And Jesus comes by that day and says, I know you're mending your nets, but push this boat out a little bit. I need to teach these people. They were there busy doing what they were doing, but Jesus said, push your boat out here a little bit, Peter. I need to teach these people. And Peter did that, didn't he? He obeyed him. It says in verse 3, and he prayed him, Jesus prayed Peter, Simon, that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So Peter did that, and we don't know if he stayed in the boat or went on to mending the nets or whatever. Maybe he likely stayed in it there. And then when he was done teaching, in verse number 4, he says to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon Peter answering said unto him, Simon's, he knows better about this situation, doesn't he? This man, no doubt, has grown up fishing. Not fishing with a rod and a reel, but fishing with nets, fishing with a boat. He was born into it, no doubt. He and his brother, and we see in the passage there that he and his brother are partners with John and James. So they know one another. John and James are from a city named Bethesda, down kind of southwest there on the Sea of Galilee. And so the Lord said, launch out. So get your boat, get those nets you've prepared in it, and push on out here into the deep and get ready to take on some fish. Peter knows better about this situation. He understands about catching fish. He understands the opposition to doing this because of what they experienced last night. What happened last night? Caught zero. And he understands about fishing in the day that the daytime isn't really the time for them to do that kind of fishing. He knows. He understands the opposition and the conventional wisdom about not doing what his Lord has told him to do. He has many, many years of experience in this. You know what else was going on with Peter? He was tired. Wasn't he? The scripture says, and Luke writes here, Master, in verse number 5, we have toiled all the night. He was beat. I mean, I don't know, understand a lot about how that kind of fishing works, but they didn't have inboard or outboard motors. They rowed where they went, or sailed. And at the least would have to deal with the rigging. And then they would have to lower down the net, and I doubt they had powered winches. Or battery operated. I mean, they worked, didn't they? And see, he was tired. We find it here in what he says. Master, we have toiled all the night. We've worked all night. So Peter, he understands about this. He understands about the conventional wisdom. What they know about this, that this is just not going to work. He knows that he is tired. But he says, in spite of all that, nevertheless, at thy word.
Amen.
You know, notice here that Peter calls him master. He regards him as such. You know, it's the same thing as saying a rabbi. He understands him to be one special. He remembers how he encountered the Lord, and the Lord dealt with him and talked to him and gave him a new name
there
by Jordan. He says, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. As we consider our Lord Jesus and these words, or word, at thy word, may our Lord help us that sinks down in us. The word spoken by this one is greater than any word that there is. Jesus indeed is the word.
Amen.
The word. We can read over that so quickly and not get the import of what the scripture is revealing and saying to us. In the beginning, John 1:1, you know it. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. and the Word was God.
Amen.
You know, that use of the word "the," it's not saying a word.
That's right.
You and I have a lot of words. But we're talking about, the Scripture's talking about, and the Lord conveys to us, the Word.
Amen.
The only Word that matters. The only Word that is eternal. The only, I believe, is implied. The only Word. Again, not a word, but rather the Word. There in John chapter 1, verse number 14, listen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, John writes. And he said, we beheld his glory. We looked on him. And John did get to see him shine on the Mount of Transfiguration, didn't he? But he saw his Lord and Savior's glory shine as he walked day to day to day to day to day. What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey his word?
Amen.
The glory, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. No substitute for him.
Amen.
No replacement for him. No other one like him.
None.
The Word. Full of grace and truth. All this scripture tells us, and John writes in his gospel, that you and I, we are given the Spirit by measure. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, he has all the Spirit of God because he is God.
Amen.
The Word. In thinking about this, I invite you to turn over here to John 21. Take a look at this passage as we consider about Jesus being the Word and Peter saying, nevertheless, at thy word. I'm thinking about this verse here recently, and I think it's appropriate. John writes here at the end of his gospel in chapter 21, verse number 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written.
Amen.
Amen. Now it says here, and there are also many other things which Jesus did. No doubt there were others that were healed.
Right.
And others that the Lord saved that aren't written in the scriptures. We know that that's the case. There were other things that he said though, isn't it? And those words were given for those people in that day. And what we need has been relayed to us in the scriptures. And I praise the Lord for that. We've got everything that we need. We've got it. There's nothing else that needs to be added to it. And certainly we don't need to take anything away from it. But all the good words of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're eternal.
Amen.
Because he's eternal.
Amen.
And we see here, the word spoken by our Lord Jesus indeed is the only word that is eternal. And as we saw in as I read to you in John 1:14, full of grace and truth, as a side thought, Jesus is the truth. Not the word "the" just to fill in there to make the sentence make, you know, flow good, but
right.
He is the truth. He is the Word. Just like I've come to understand here in recent times what the Scripture, how the Scripture is speaking to us about he's the Savior of the world. Mm-hmm. He's the only Savior.
That's right.
See, the. See, if you're the chess player, there's no other chess player that stands up against you. And then all others that would seek to dethrone you are a chess player, aren't they? But he is the Savior.
Amen.
There's none other.
Amen.
He is the truth. There's no other truth but him.
Amen.
And he is the Word. And all of which are eternal because he's eternal.
Amen.
Jesus is the truth. And John 14:6, again, a passage, you know this. Jesus says, he's dealing with Philip and Thomas there in that passage. He says to Philip, Jesus saith unto him, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
See, there are other ways, but he is only the way.
Right.
There are other supposed that people claim or and folks claim to be truth, but he is the truth. There's none other. There's not a multitude to choose from. And indeed, he is the life, isn't he? He is life. John wrote about that, and we see that in John chapter 1. If there is going to be life given to men, it's going to be by the Lord Jesus Christ, none other. And so, considering about this, that Jesus is the Word, and Jesus is the truth, and we think about Peter, there he says, nevertheless at thy word, nevertheless at thy word, we think about Jesus being the truth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 10, turn over here. It tells about the state of those that are damned, and it tells about something about them there, and that we can understand the counterpoint of this. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 10, speaking about the wicked, the Antichrist, his coming is after the working of Satan. The Lord's going to back off. The Spirit of God is going to back off from this world. And seemingly that time is drawing closer and closer. In verse number 10, speaking about the Antichrist, with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, and those that are without Christ, listen, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You know, we can hear he's speaking about those that are damned because they have not received the love of the truth. But we who are saved, I think we can indeed say, we have received the love of the truth. Our Lord has brought the truth to us. He showed us our need. He showed us Christ. He's revealed him unto us. The love of the truth.
Amen.
We are saved. We have received the love of the truth. We have received and do love our Lord Jesus. Remember what he said in John 14, 6? I'm the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You're hearing saved, don't you love your Savior?
Amen. Amen.
Don't you're hearing saved, don't you know your Savior loves you? Amen.
Amen.
We do. And Scripture is true. We love him because he loved us first. Amen.
Amen.
We love the truth. We love the Word. Indeed, don't we love life? He's the life, isn't he? So, this being the case, is not then his Word to us preeminent? If we've been saved by our Lord, and we have, by that declaration, we have received the love of the truth. You get all of Jesus or none.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Is not then his word to us preeminent? Isn't it above all? This one that is so great, so mighty, so powerful, so gracious, so merciful, so loving, who has done everything for us when we hated him.
Right.
Isn't his word above all? And you know, in considering this about what it says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, that these that are damned, it says they are so because they received not the love of the truth. We who are saved, we can say that we have received the love of the truth. You know what this word love is here? It's agape love. It's not just love of the lips. But as I like to understand it, it's love with legs on it.
Right.
Love with legs on it.
Yep.
Love unto action.
Yep.
The love that our Lord has had for us, it caused him to act, didn't it? It caused him to act on our behalf. And we are called, being saved and rescued by our Lord and by the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to love him, agape love. Love with legs on it. Love to action. Not just love that we would say in word. And so we see, and I think we can come to an understanding that it's not just enough to know our Lord's word. We need to know it. But what did Peter say? Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.
Amen.
You hear? You understand what I'm getting at? Understand what the word is telling us? If we do love our Lord, and we do love the truth, which is him, we do love him because he has first loved us, indeed, we need to be hanging on every word that he
says. Right.
James speaks to this to us about these things, doesn't he? In his epistle. Also, as another point that we just want to remember, that Jesus is the manifestation of God. That's how we know about God, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. A lot of people, we've got some in our family that are Hindus. And I've been thinking about that. They're trying to find their God that they cannot find.
Right.
But the Lord can be found.
Amen.
They're trying to get settled. You hear them talk. You hear them talk about some of the things that they talk about in their way and their pursuits. You know, they're trying to find their God in themselves. That's what it boils down to. And they know full well they can't find it. But they don't want anything to deal with the Lord. Romans speaks to us about that, doesn't it? But Jesus is the manifestation of God. He is God. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God became a man. Remember, John wrote, and I read it there in John chapter 1, verse number 14, he's full of grace and truth.
Amen.
Every bit of favor, every bit of truth is found in him. And then look over here in Hebrews chapter 1. Let's read this. It'll kind of close the circle of thought here. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, different ways, different ones that he dealt with, spake in time past unto his fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And what's his Son done? He's spoken words, wonderful words of life.
Amen.
Words of life that call the sinner to repentance and faith in him, not of anything you can bring or trade with God or pay God or deal with God. Wonderful words of life for the child of God, the one that's been saved by him, on how to live, how to walk with him. Is there anything that God tells us that is against us? In no way. Everything our Lord tells us as his children is for our benefit and for our blessing.
Amen.
Otherwise, he has just left us in our own natural ignorance. But how has he spoken to us? Well, God has spoken to us through his Son. And how has the Son spoken to us? Through his wonderful words.
Amen.
Spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also whom also he made the world. He's preeminent. He's above number one.
Amen.
And so such a one as this, would we dare hear him speak? and refuse it and reject it and choose another way and or put it away? I mean, the Lord tells us, even as his children, we can willfully sin against our Lord. Peter saw the power of his Lord back in Luke 5. He saw the power of his Lord, and I want us to understand this principle that is here. I think there are many that have at least claimed to be saved that have missed this, and it's hurt them. It's hurt them in the life that they have to live for their Lord, and the scripture even talks about those that are saved so as by fire. Isn't that the case? I mean, the scripture talks about that. I don't want to be like that. Do you want to be like that? I don't want to be like that. And so we know there is a degree. We know that Brother Lot, he was saved.
Right.
He sure didn't live for the Lord as far as what we know and are told in the scriptures, did he? Peter saw the power of our Lord Jesus in his word, and it helped him. He said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had this done, verse 6, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Those nets that they'd been washing and those nets that they'd been mended, they were under the strain and the load of a number of fish that one boat couldn't handle. But Peter knew you couldn't catch fish this time of the day. And Peter knew that there weren't any fish around when he'd gone out the night before. But his Lord and Savior told him to go. And you know what? It helped him. It spoke to him. And I understand this, if you will, and humor me in a hypothetical thing. In these things that we're going to read here, if Peter had refused, would he have received the blessings that are listed here in this chapter? I don't believe he would either. The point is, listen, child of God, one thing in obedience to the Lord leads to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. We've got to be faithful in little before there's an opportunity to be faithful in much.
Amen.
Isn't that what our Lord tells us? We have a responsibility. Our Lord has promised, and we'll get to that, he will help us, but he does give the call. First off, our brother said unto the Lord here, and after he saw that, and they filled both ships, and James and John are there, and they're chucking that fish into those boats, and their boat, and the original boat, and the net's breaking, and it's all falling apart, and they're about to sink. I mean, they're working. He said, when's the end of this? They're putting those fish on. These are real fellas dealing with a real thing that our Lord has done.
Right, amen.
And they're seeing it. And they're saying, we've never got any fish like this. He said, hush and keep on putting these fish back there. Put them back in the back, John. Put them in the front, James. Andrew, get them back there. Put them back there where we sleep. I don't want to put them on the bed. Well, we got to get these fish in here. These boats are going to sink. They were amazed. They beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at his knees. He fell down at Jesus' knees. I tell you, there's no better place to be than at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And you take it and you look, I challenge you, look through the scriptures. Where have our brethren in the scriptures and the accounts that were given, where have they been blessed and been in the presence of their Lord the greatest? You see it with Isaiah. You see it with Ezekiel. You see it maybe even with Zechariah. You see it with John. May see the glory of their Lord as our brother did this day. You know, nothing else mattered.
Amen.
And then what they do is that other brother did, they said they see their corruption. He said, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. He repented before his Lord, didn't he?
Right.
He knows the disparity. He sees the power of his Savior. from his human understanding, he knows what is right. It'd be better for you just not to be around me because I am sore lower than you. Wicked, filthy. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He goes from calling him master to Lord. We'll understand about our place and the Lord's place. And listen to what happened. He repented unto his Lord. And you know what? The Lord didn't say, it says here, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Verse 9, for he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And look at the mercy of our Lord toward the repentant. Yeah, he's a child of God. And these other brethren, James and John, sons of Zebedee. And Jesus said, you know, Peter, you're right. I'm out of here. Did Jesus say that? Jesus said unto him, fear not. Fear not. You know what? Peter saw the power of his Lord and his word. He obeyed the Lord's word. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll go ahead and do this, even though it doesn't make any sense to me, even though I'm whipped and my body wants nothing to do with it. I'm going to go ahead and do it. At thy word, Master, I'm going to do it. And you know what? In obeying the Lord, he saw this power manifested. And you know what? He was blessed, wasn't he? He says, oh, I don't deserve to be here. The Lord says, fear not. He repented unto his Lord, and he was comforted by his Lord. Fear not. I'm not leaving. Fear not. And you know what? After that, he says here, and he was called by his Lord. In Luke 5:10, he says, fear not, there at the end, from henceforth thou shalt catch men.
Amen.
Son, this business of catching this fish out of Galilee is not your business anymore.
Right.
You're going to go fish with a net that you can't see, but that you will declare. You will declare my word from your mouth. And you're going to catch men with the gospel net.
Right.
It's my business who will be caught. But you know what? You're to go.
Amen.
And you're to tell it. Amen? He says here, he was called by his Lord, believing and obeying his Lord's word and seeing the power of his Lord's word work. In the impossible, it helped Peter to be obedient to the Lord's next word unto him. See, he said, push out the boat. Peter obeyed. He says, launch out into the deep. Put down the net. Peter obeyed. And he saw more, didn't he? And then the Lord said, he saw the power of the Lord at that point. He says, depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And he says, fear not. From now on, you're going to catch men. Did they say, well, I got a big investment in this boat, and I just got these nets the other day on credit, and I really don't understand about this catching men, fishing for men like you're talking about. I think I'm just going to stay right here. No. They forsook all, it says in verse number 11.
Amen.
And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him.
Amen.
Not only Peter, but Andrew, and as it tells us in other places in the gospel, John and James, and they left their daddy there with the servants, the hired men. Peter indeed was used by his Lord, wasn't he?
Never.
I am afraid that many of the Lord's children never come to know their Lord this way. You and I have got to obey in the little things. See, none of them are really little. We just esteem them to be little.
Right.
Launch out a little bit for me to teach. Okay. Even though it doesn't make sense to you, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. wrong time of the day, I'm tired. You know what? We'll never experience the blessing if we don't obey our Lord.
Amen.
One step at a time. They never learn of him. What is our Lord's word to us? Nevertheless, at thy word. May our Lord help us. Although we don't understand how our Lord will do so, may we obey him at his word. Although the world system is against his word in every way, may we obey our Lord in his word. Although the world religious system is against his word in every way, may our attitude be, nevertheless, at thy word and what you said, Lord, I'll do what you say. Although our own bodies are against his word in every way. You know, this old man is not saved. Not going to be saved. Destruction of the body of death, I think, are the words that are used in the scriptures. This old body must be destroyed. We're called on it right now to mortify it, to start with.
Right.
It's a soul that's been saved. It's a spirit of God that's been given. The Lord's not going to reform or modify or tune up or adjust this old body. This old body's going to be destroyed in the grave.
Yeah.
Although our own bodies are against his word in every way, may we be obedient to him. May our attitude, thought, and action be one of nevertheless at thy word.
Amen.
What's he said? What has he said? Remember these words of our Lord. I am the vine, John 15:5, and ye are the branches. We need to remember our place. He that abideth in me, do you abide in your Lord? Do you live in him? He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
Right.
So we always, at the word of the Lord, we say, Lord, that's impossible, but you've said for me to go, or you've said for me to obey. The math can't work. The situation can't work. The way that it fits, it doesn't fit into this world can't work. But Lord, I'm going to follow you.
Amen.
Father, I pray that you'd work it. Pray that you would work in it. In Matthew 19:26, right, when the Lord dealt with the rich young ruler and told them how those that have riches, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. They said, well, who then can be saved? The Lord says in Matthew 19:26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
So
we need to remember that. We need to remember the one, the power of the one, and the one that's given the word and what he calls us into. In conclusion, to his children, to those that are saved, what is our Lord's word to us? What is his word to us? But just keep it, again, the most elementary thing. This book has many, many things for us to learn and to apply in our lives. But for the one that's saved, what does the Lord say? John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do we love him? We love his word. We want his word. Remember how we read there about those that are damned, they receive not the love of the truth? We say by being saved that we love the truth. Love. Love with legs on it. Agape love. Love that leads to action.
Amen.
To his children and his churches, and that's who is mostly here tonight that are saved. We've been given a great blessing and been called to the Lord's service in the Lord's churches. What a blessing that is. What's his word to us? You know it. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And may we take confidence in that. I lose sight of that. But may we have confidence. All power, not most, not 90% with 10% possible opposition that can defeat the Lord. But he says all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations.
Amen.
Teach them the gospel. Teach them about who God is. Teach them about certain doom and damnation towards sinners that are unrepentant. Teach them about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no way to have any kind of eternity with any hope without him.
Amen.
Teach them. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Those that come confessing our Lord as Savior and bringing fruits meet for repentance, baptize them, and they be added to the church. And then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. How does a command come across? Is it not in words? Nevertheless, at thy word. It needs to be my attitude and my thinking and my way, doesn't it? Nevertheless, at thy word. When it doesn't make any kind of sense, when it doesn't seem to be a fit for the situation, when it doesn't seem to be a fit for any future, that there's just opposition on that, nevertheless, at thy word, Lord.
Amen.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. A great promise.
Amen.
Our Lord has promised to be with us.
Amen.
The brother mentioned about the Spirit of God being here tonight. He's promised to be here.
Amen.
He's going to be here. I praise him for it.
Amen.
And he'll help us. Help us. And to those, lastly, that are not saved, what is his word to you? There is a word that he has spoken to you. And again, in its most elemental fashion and way, and it is profound. To those not saved, what is the Lord's word to you? Well, it's the first account of what the Lord said in the beginning of his ministry, Mark 1:15, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.
Amen.
Salvation's of the Lord.
Amen.
Repent and believe the gospel. Also, our Lord says there in Matthew 11:28-30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I think there are many that don't learn about their Lord. Many that are saved that don't learn about their Lord, but we need to learn about him. If we love him, we certainly need to learn about him, don't we? He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and he did so and came so for our sakes. And he says, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Even though your body might be tired, you can find rest. We can find rest in our Lord.
Amen.
And then this, and much can be preached about this, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, the yoke of the world and of sin will kill you. Is killing you. The burden of condemnation because of sins against a thrice holy God is a burden that will crush you. The salvation by the Lord, it's an easy yoke unto life.
Amen.
And it's a burden that's a blessing because we join our Lord in that. Nevertheless, at thy word, may those words stay with us. May those words, nevertheless, at thy word, Lord, I'll do what you've commanded to do. I'll hear and believe you and trust you in what you say, knowing that if you've said it, you've meant it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Obeying it will be a blessing to me. Brother, thank you.
Amen. Amen.